The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 368. Neil Brower interviews Morgan Brittany, 2011. Part 3. Tonight's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. They got a great new book, trivia book, from Scott Hopkins. You'd love that. It's getting close to summer. Everybody's thinking about it. Go out and check out the t-shirts. There are a lot of Mayberry t-shirts to choose from. Get one for yourself and wear that Mayberry pride. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs, No Waiting. As always, it is wonderful to have you here in Mayberry with me. It's always fun to spend a little bit of time together and just enjoy talking about our favorite show, The Andy Griffith Show. And if you're not looking for an Andy Griffith Show podcast, this may or may not be the right place for you. If you're a Dallas fan, I guess you could be dropping by to hear from Morgan Brittany, and she has been talking about that. Now, tonight, this will wrap up our three-part interview, our segments, I should say, with Morgan Brittany from back in 2011 when she was at Mayberry Days. I believe it was her first trip there. And she came in and to the Earl Theater there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, to talk to all the fans from the Andy Griffith Show. And she talked about, we've already heard her talking about being on Dallas. We've heard her talk about the many different movie and TV roles she's had and the people that she's worked with. And so tonight we're going to wrap that up and hear just a little bit more. It's only about 8 minutes of her. And then we'll talk about some of the things she's talked about. Some of the actors and actresses she worked with on the Andy Griffith Show. We'll talk about some of them. So without much more ado, I'll head over here and get the video ready. So if you're watching the video podcast, you can watch it. But this is a great audio version as well. You don't miss much by not watching, other than getting to see Miss Brittany. She's very nice. So she's nice, nice. You know Thelma Lou, don't you? You know, she's her cousin. No, not really. All right. So if you don't remember, she played Mary Alice Carter in the Andy Griffith Show episode, Opie's First Love, is who this is. So, okay. All right. So let's head over and listen to the last part of this interview. I hope you're going to enjoy this and stick around after it for some more Mayberry trivial information. Okay. So let's head over.
Yeah.
I'm pretty loud. You can probably hear me.
Okay.
You've worked with a lot of stars. Is there anyone, either a female actress or male actor that you haven't worked with that you always wished you could have?
Oh, my gosh. Well, of course, I always, you know, one of my favorite actresses of all time was Vivian Leigh, and I got to play her three times in three different projects. But I never got to work with her. I would have loved to. I think she passed away in 67. Yeah, the year I did that show. I would have loved to have worked with her because I admired her acting so much. I knew she was a very kind of tortured person. She had a lot of personal problems. But I think just what I could have learned from her would have been amazing. But I can't begin to tell you guys, spending, you know, traveling overseas with Bob Hope and what I witnessed, you know, and just dancing and singing with Howard Keel and Jonathan Winters and, you know, people like that. And I look back on it and I think, oh my gosh, and Mickey Rooney, we did a remake of Eddie Foy and the Seven Little Foys, and Mickey was just this bundle of energy that would come on set every day, and you know, you could tell that this man, he lived and breathed entertaining people. He loved it. And that was done with the Osmond brothers when they were really, really little. They played the Foys. But some of these actors, I mean, there's a lot of people I think I would have loved to have worked with. Kirk Douglas. I did work with Tony Curtis. He was a little goofy, but it was a lot of these people. I had images of them. You know how you have you put in your mind and you think somebody's going to be a certain way, and then when the reality is that they're not that way, and it kind of shocks you a little bit. That happens a lot in Hollywood, where you have this image and you've seen somebody on film and you think they're going to be a certain way and then they're not. You see a lot of that in Hollywood, where you kind of shake your head and go, wow, that's not what I expected. Either for good or for bad. Like a lot of times on Dallas, when I was on Dallas, people just did not like me at all. I mean, they did not like my character. They didn't like anything about what I was doing on that show. And the reaction was, I don't like her. So I'd have to go and counteract that. I even lost a big cosmetic contract because people wouldn't buy the product. Because they thought, no, I don't like her. But a lot of times you have to work against that image. I don't mind playing a villain. I like playing a villain because they're the better roles, really. You get to, you get to play both sides of the coin. But it's also nice to be the hero, too. The mom, the hero. They never see me as a mom. I don't get it. I got two kids. They don't see me as a mom. It baffles me.
Anybody else?
Can you hear me up here?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Mine's kind of wild. You mentioned an agent, I think at 5. You mentioned the letters you got from girls in jail, incarcerated. You mentioned Kim Basinger in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's almost like how much work. Okay, now you do a staff, like the agent, he essentially would be considered your staff. While you're working, you have to read. So who's reading those letters? Like you have a staff, and then they tell you, or do you? Or you can't read. I don't know how many letters you get as an actor. So would you have time to read them all?
Oh, as fan mail, when yeah. Fan mail comes in. It actually depends. If you're on a really big project, a really big hit show, or like Dallas, CBS would get all the mail. They would get all the mail and they'd go through the mail, and some of it they would send on to us, and then some they'd send directly to the press agent, which I never really liked, because what they would do is they would have somebody have a picture, an 8x10 photo, and they'd put a autograph, and then send it back to the fans. And I thought, that's not really, that's not good. People don't want that. They want the real thing. And it's very time consuming. You have to have, when you're on a big show like that, you have to have somebody working with you. It's amazing how many people are involved in an actor's entourage, so to speak. I mean, you can start out, when I was this age doing Andy Griffith, I had one agent. That was it. Just one agent, and they took 10%. When you get in the higher areas, then you have an agent, then you have, that's 10%. Then you have a manager, that's 15%. Then you have a publicist, that's 5%. Then you have a lawyer, that's another 5%. And then you got the government that takes another 50. So, you're left with nothing, pretty much, and you're thinking, whoa, what's going on here? And it just becomes overwhelming sometimes, and you have to scale back and say, okay, overload, can't do this anymore. I gotta really rein this in. But it's very, more and more people attach themselves to you because they feel, you know, you're making money and they want their part of it. And so it, you know, a lot of people get caught up in it. I'm sure you guys, you know, see a lot of these musical stars and rock stars, and they've got, you know, 50 people around them, and most of them not helping them at all. Most of them, you know, making matters worse for a lot of them. But yeah, it's very, I mean, when you work in the business and you reach some degree of success, it changes your life. It changes your life a lot. You don't live the same life that you did beforehand. And you'll see a lot of these, like a lot of these kids that get instant fame or instant stardom really, really fast, and then they spiral out of control and you wonder why. Well, there's a lot of reasons why, believe me.
It sounds to me like you need a very experienced and helpful fan club operator to and now that I'm presiding over emeritus, I have some more free time on my hands. I think that's we've been here a while. I don't want to, and then you got other places to go. You have to. I think you're gonna make an appearance at Colonel Tim's Talent Time, maybe. Or just,
I'm gonna do that again. I did that once.
Well, maybe I'm not sure. I don't know
maybe
your full schedule,
am.
But I know you've got a busy schedule, so we don't want to take up all your time. But
oh, it's okay.
Thank you. Well,
thank you guys.
Thank you, Neil Brower. Really a wonderful presentation. We learned a lot.
All right, so there we are. That was Morgan Brittany from 2011. Now, that was Jim Clark speaking there at the end. Jim Clark is the presiding goober emeritus, he said, of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. And there was one question in there. I believe you actually, she answered it, so I believe you got the actual question. She was asking, you know, how many people does it take when you're an actress or an actor to answer, you know, to deal with all the fan mail and stuff that you might receive? And so she answered that question. So, guys, if you have not listened to episodes, the first two episodes of this, parts one and part two, I definitely want to encourage you to go do that, because this is, she gave a lot of really good information about the Andy Griffith Show, about just Hollywood in general and how it actually works. And she mentioned several people. Now, I wanted to bring these up too, because, there were people that she worked with. Now, you may not remember this episode that she was on, Opie's First Love, because it was a color episode. And a lot of you guys, I know you don't like the color episodes, but something that I had forgotten, and thankfully this reminded me of it, was that in the color episodes, Fred Simpson was the boy that Mary Alice Carter liked. Well, you may not remember it, but he also, the same boy, which you can see in some of the black and white episodes, he played Trey, you know, Trey Bowden. You remember Trey Bowden? It was Opie's friend. You know, he got involved in the, he was the one that Andy took a special interest in, and Opie got jealous. You remember that? He was also involved in selling the Miracle Salve. He was involved in that. But Trey and Fred Simpson, so they're the same kid. And I never realized that. But Fred Simpson is Trey. So he appeared in that same color episode along with Morgan Brittany and also Joy Ellison. So now Morgan, she played the character Mary Alice Carter. Now, you remember that she was one that she wanted to go to the dance, and Opie asked her to go to the dance, but she really had a crush, or really wanted to go with this Fred Simpson guy. And Opie had already asked her to go to the dance, and so she agreed to go, and then she backed out on him. You guys remember this, right? It was horrible. Yeah, you know, every little boy in the world, or every man who ever was a little boy, has either seen this, experienced it, or known somebody it happened to. It's been terrible. Anyway, so Opie had asked her, and then she basically dumped him because Fred came by, and he asked her to go to the dance. Well, so Opie went ahead and went to the dance anyway and played it really cool, and ends up, you know, that Mary Alice ends up with him at the dance and then comes home, or, you know, Andy ends up taking him home. So, you know, that's a really neat episode. Now, her friend in that episode, when Opie was talking to her and other parts, you'll see them. They were in their rollers. You know, they had their hair rollers and they're, you know, talking on the phone at one point. Or her friend in that episode is Joy Ellison. Now, you remember Joy Ellison? She's a veteran of the black and white episodes as well. So Joy is in the scenes, several different scenes of the Opie's, first love, and she's talking. She's her friend, but that's also Joy Ellison. She is Helen Scobie's daughter. She's the Scobie's daughter. You know, she's also Mary Wiggins. It's the same family, but it's called Mary Wiggins in one. She was the one that Opie thought should be Miss Mayberry, remember? And then Floyd got the hat and put it on her head and sang, "Hail to thee, Miss Mayberry, all hail to thee." Well, that was Joy Ellison. And she played both of those roles. And later on, just so you know, she went on to be in Gomer Pyle in one episode as well. So she's been to Mayberry Days. I've got a picture of her holding her key to the city of Mount Airy. And I also got to sing Hail to Thee, Miss Mayberry to her as Floyd there at the Proclamation one year. So that's Joy. Now, there's a lot of information on the internet about these folks. So let me give you just a little bit about, let's go back to Trey. Okay, so Trey, his real name is David Allen Bailey. Great name, by the way. Middle name, Allen. I really like that. Somehow it sticks. Of course, he spells it with one L. Anyway, he was on Dennis the Menace. He was on the Andy Griffith Show in four episodes. And he was also in Room 222, if you remember that old show. He did several different movies. One of them was it was called The Princess and the Magic Frog. It was also called At the End of the Rainbow. He was in a movie that was his only starring role. But he was typically played some boy next door, which, you know, you saw, if you remember him and remember his pictures, well, you know, he looks like a boy next door. So that's, it's easy to guess why he would play those kind of roles. Now, he didn't really do anything much after his career as a young actor. Andy Griffith Show was probably his high point, and then being in the 1965 movie where he starred in that film. The Princess and the Magic Frog. And then basically he did very little after that. He was on Bewitched. He had been on several different shows, My Three Sons, Nanny and the Professor, things that we've all heard of. But he was on those. And I guess it never sticks in my head that Trey is the same young man who's later the teenage version of Fred Simpson. So that was new to me. You know, I just never picked up on that. Now, Joy Ellison. Now, Joy, she, as we said, was, I can't think of her name right now. I've gone blank. She was the little Scobie girl, and Effie, I think they called her at least in one episode. And then, of course, she was Mary Wiggins as well. She had appeared on the Andy Griffith Show and on Gomer Pyle, as I said, and she was on the Disney film called Super Dad. And Joy's a very successful dialect coach for film actors like Isabella Rossellini, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Antonio Banderas, Eric Bana, and Brad Pitt. And there's more, but those are just some. And she has been very successful in that, and she's had a great career as a dialect coach and consultant. She even has a website, joyellison.com, that you can go and check out. And it's got all kinds of information about her and about being a dialect coach. So it's anyway, Joy was in that episode of the Andy Griffith Show as well. So we had Suzanne Caputo, I hope I said it right, Caputo, that was Morgan Brittany. That was her real name. She talked about that, I think, in the first part one of this interview. And she was in this Opie's First Love. And then we had the two alumni, young actors in there, was Fred Simpson And then Joy Ellison, Alan, his name is David Bailey, was Fred Simpson, and then Joy Ellison. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. That's just a little bit of background about that episode. Now go check it out. So if you guys don't have it, you can head over to Weavers and pick up the season sets of The Andy Griffith Show so you can watch this. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you haven't seen it, go check it out, watch it, and then come back and watch these podcasts again or listen to these podcasts so that you can feel more at home as you do so. All right, folks, that is all I have for us tonight. So I hope you guys have enjoyed it, and I want to thank you for being here with me. And I'd love to hear from you. What'd you think about the interviews? Did you enjoy them? You can give me an email. You can email me at floyd@imaber.com, or you can call me, which I would prefer, at 888-684-8415. All right. Folks, until next time, I want to thank you for being here with me, and we'll see you next time right here in Mayberry, down 2 chairs, no waiting. See you then.